lot of stuff going on in chapter 15, if you remember reading in there. We find out that Larry had been studying, Mike's friend Larry had been studying with Randall. And found out that he was just baptized. Remember, he showed up to his house that night about 9:15. He had just been baptized, went to Mike's house, and was pretty excited about it. The question that they asked, and there was really no answer, but why do you think that maybe Mike kind of, or Larry kind of hid this from Mike up until the end, that he was studying with Randall? Do you guys have any? It's just kind of an opinion. My only thought was maybe Randall said, don't say anything to Mike, don't want to chase him away or anything. I don't know. What's your guys' thought?
Mike was hardened enough without, you know, people judging you while you're trying to do something.
Okay.
You know, so even though, you know, that doesn't mean you're ashamed of what you're studying, but it's a private thing, and ignorant people can just put a damper on your parade sometimes.
Okay.
And so it's just...
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Larry and Mike worked in the same office together with the other guy, and I can't remember what his name is. He was back in earlier chapters.
Was it Kyle?
Something.
Or something like that, yeah.
And throughout the story here, Mike talks about how stubborn he himself is. And it could be that Larry started studying with Randall after Mike started asking questions of Larry. Have you heard of this? You know, that might have intrigued Larry. So he went and started talking to Randall. Didn't want to make a big deal out of it because of the other guy in the office. Just because then all of a sudden, if he and Mike are talking about it in the office, he's going to have the other guy to deal with too, who's really negative. And, you know, like Justine said, it just, you know, he may have just felt like, you know, I need to keep this between, you know, me and Randall.
Yeah, I just didn't want to pick any negativity up from others then, yeah. You remember what, way back, I think it was about chapter 3, when I think it was Kyle. Was that his name, Kyle? Do you guys remember his other office guy? Where he said, hey, man, that church, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. That was the guy that made the comment. And so it can be kind of negative sometimes. Maybe that's why he didn't. He kept it hid a little bit. Any other comments on that? Okay.
Well, some people just don't want to change.
Okay. Okay. And you're referring to?
Kyle.
Okay, back to Kyle, okay.
He thinks that we think we're the only church going to heaven.
Okay.
And a lot of people think that way.
Okay. I see a few new faces in here real quick. I wanted to just bring up that, in case you're wondering what we're doing, we've been reading Muscle and a Shovel, and we're discussing on what was going on in the book. So I know there's a few new faces in here. Didn't want you guys to wonder what we were talking about. So. It's good to see you, by the way.
You know, we're also brought up, I think, I wasn't brought to church, and so politics and religion, you steer away from those.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you go, you don't talk about those. So it just could be also just the upbringing.
Okay.
Of you don't talk about those. And it's, you know, so the physical, you know, so we find growing up, people are telling you that's private, you don't talk about it, you know, because it's it's a hornet's nest. And it's when you, and it's not until we meet Christ at the cross that we realize it's the total opposite.
Okay.
You know, that's when you realize there's so many lost people. We have to tell them. But until then, you're just, the world tells you, keep, you know, politics and religion, keep those under wraps.
Before my grandfather passed away a few years ago, he and I were standing out by the car talking one time. And that's one thing he told me. He says, there's two things you don't talk about, is politics and religion. It's always, it always turns into a big fight. Yeah, I've been told that before too. But and actually, on the politics side, yeah, it's probably more of an opinion thing. But the religion side, when it comes down to us meeting Christ, and when this life comes to an end, and when that soul dies, we probably should be thinking ourselves. We probably should have talked a little bit more to him. So, yeah, very good point.
Well, there is a big difference in the attitude of, say, the average American on Bible study compared to shortly after World War II. At that time, when you would go to somebody's house, of course, there was no TV, it did have radio. Oftentimes, they'd break out their Bibles and discuss some issue. Not always, you know, cloak and dagger stuff. They just wanted to learn scripture. Very common to discuss Christianity with other thoughts, other faiths.
Times
not
have
so
changed a lot
so
since
today.
Then, haven't they? Yeah. Keep going, sorry.
I'm done.
He's done. I want to hear more. Well, in living back in those times, I mean, I wasn't alive back then, but I always hear how things were different back then. God was talked about a lot more back in the 40s and 50s, and probably maybe before, I don't know. But it just seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. I don't, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Well, I'll talk a little more.
Go ahead, Virgil.
After that, as years went by, television approaches and big name ministers, evangelists, began to be popular. And that caused people to turn away from organized church and the slogan, Jesus yes, the church no, was popular. So it's been kind of a odd thing to watch Christianity, but I think it's just a misunderstanding
maybe
of what the church is compared to what organized church is in, say, the world.
Okay. Maybe that's where some of the people got the whole concept. I'm going to throw a wrench into this, all right? Because I took a little beating on this a couple weeks ago. I have a personal relationship with Jesus, so I'll stay home. I won't go get involved in the church, and I'll just stay here and watch it on television. I've heard that a lot. Have anybody ever heard that? Not saying that having a person, I'm not saying that we discussed the personal relationship. I think we have that. But that just gives them the thought that, hey, I don't have to be involved in the church because I have this personal, when we're told that we need to be part of the assembly.
Most people don't realize, to them still, in their heads, I'm going to say probably high 90%. They're not realizing we are the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a building. It's not a thing you go to. We are the church. We are the called out.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and it's, people just don't realize that.
Okay. Good point. All right, any other comments on this? What does this say about Randall's efforts in the Lord? We see that he's been studying with a couple of guys from work. What does this say about Randall's efforts in the Lord? He obviously is not afraid to share the gospel. Where's his heart?
With the Lord.
What's that? That's right. Yeah. Everybody looks like they're half asleep today. What is going on?
The weather.
Is it the weather? The clouds? Do you like it cloudy?
I don't like the sun.
Okay. Look at Romans 1, chapter 1, 16. Can somebody read that? Anyone? 1:16, Romans 1:16.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings
salvation and for everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You see that Randall was not ashamed of the gospel. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Do we do what Randall does? Did I say that right? Do we do what Randall does?
I don't think we're all as happy as he is.
Okay, we're not as happy as he was? Just something to think about.
We see people. A lot of us, we're seeing people instead of seeing souls. And Randall's in that bright, you know, that bright kind of mind. Everyone is a soul. And life is short. We have so many to get in that net.
As a matter of fact, and I believe it's in the next chapter, Randall made that point. He said, look, I take this serious. He says, this is a soul that's out there. And when somebody's messing with a soul, because he was talking about how other denominations say, just accept them in your heart or just believe and you're good to go. But Randall took that serious. He says, no. He says, where are these guys getting this stuff? He says, this is a soul. A soul. This is serious stuff. It's not just a person. It's something that's going to be eternal. Something that we have to think about as well. Look at Mark 16, 15 through 16. This is one of our memory verses. We should all know this one right here. You guys should have this memorized. Saying it to me. What is it? Somebody read it. 15, 16.
Said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned.
We see that Randall took this to heart. He was serious about this. We read this in the beginning. Randall was studying with two guys from work. How many other guys was he studying with? We don't know. Didn't say, it was unknown how many that he was studying. He'd probably been studying with four or five guys, as far as we know. It was never said. I'd be curious to know how many he did study with over his lifetime. So, any comments?
Verse 16 is the one, my family, I mean, they're not to be mean, but basically heathens, basically. Mm-hmm. But when I was like two or three, my mom said, so she basically just picked one. And so she took me to the Methodist church for years, dropped me off for Bible class. Verse 16 is the one. I was going through the confirmation of the Methodist hymn. And I was just reading on my own, and I came across that, and it terrified me. Verse 16 is what sought me seeking the truth. Well, it started me on that path. You know, my brain was like, I knew I wasn't baptized as a baby. And so that's what terrified me. I was like 12 or 13, and verse 16, I'm just like, I'm going to go to hell. And that's the verse that stopped me. I started asking anyone I could think of.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even as a 12-year-old, it scared me so much.
Okay. Well, in verse 16, too, I've seen that people have twisted that verse around a little bit. I've seen it in the Baptist religion. I was raised Baptist. If you didn't know, I know there's a few that didn't know that. But if you read verse 16, it says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. It doesn't say that if you don't be baptized, you'll be condemned as well. It just says you have to believe. They've twisted that around a little bit.
Right, and like I said, I had no really big religious background. So if a 12-year-old can look at that, and that's, you know, Jesus reminds us, you know, we need to be like little children. You take it for what it says. Don't try to get your little loophole in or anything. If a 12-year-old, I said, that's what prodded me, and that's why I guess I have trouble with people around. You know, when people want to do their own thing, it's like, as a child, I knew what that meant.
I have heard
why
that it's.
Don't you see that?
I've heard that it's easier to convert somebody who was not raised in any type of a denomination with a preconceived idea. Is this drilled into your head? And
the first part of that verse answers it. I mean, are you condemned if you're not saved?
Yeah.
Because he says, he who believes and has been baptized will be saved. So you stop right there.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Like you said, they can twist that around.
Yeah, but well, if you don't believe, you're not going to get baptized anyway.
Yeah.
So, Kelvin.
That was my point. If you didn't believe, why would you be baptized?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something to remember. I mean, to us, a lot of us in here, like, this is pretty elementary to us. We're going in, well, yeah, we know all this. But to somebody that we're studying with, this is just ideas that we can think about. Be prepared, because they're going to bring this up if you're studying with them. You know how to act or react to it and what to come back with, and show them the right verses and explain it to them. Kurt, were you going to? Oh, Rod, sorry.
You know, if you take a look at this. Randall knew the Bible very well. He knew where the verses were. He knew what to say at the right time. But there's one thing that really stands out with him, is that he had the courage to act upon that gospel.
Yes.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of us, even in the church today, lack is the courage to act.
Yeah. Like we just read Paul mentioned here in Romans, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. Are we ashamed of it? I would say we're maybe not ashamed of it, but we're probably more worried about what somebody may think or how they'll react. We've all been in that position. You know, an example was I don't remember who said this. I think it was actually Kelly Hewitt. We were talking about this. Can I mention your name? We were talking about this one time. But if we all pretty much have kids, if we don't, we know somebody we're close to. But if your kid had some type of a cancer, we'll say. You remember this? Had a cancer. But there was a cure for that. It was somewhere in this world. And you had to go find it. You would do anything and everything, am I right, to find that cure for your son or your daughter or whatever for this cancer. But there's a cancer that we have that's called a spiritual cancer. It's sin. We all know that, and it's everything out in this world. We've seen it all. Are we concerned for our kids' souls, the spiritual cancer, as much as we would their physical cancer? Or anybody, as far as that goes? Kelly, you had a very good... It made me think about that after. That's been a while back. That's a very good point. Would we do what it takes for our kids to be cured from that spiritual cancer as much as we would a physical cancer? And sadly, we brush things off and we let things go with our kids. And we, or whatever, oh, it's just part of life. And at the same time, Satan's eating them up. Something to think about. Thanks for making me think of that. We see a burning building, somebody's dying in there, we would run in to try to save them more than likely, or we would get help to help them out. But when we see the world out there dying from a sickness within us, from sin, would we try to save that person? Kelly.
Something that
society and say that a huge majority of Americans considered themselves believers in God. In fact, God was a common topic in politics, in everything. And it's really an interesting discussion that I think we should have as to how we go about doing this, because I tend to feel like I don't even know where to start with this evangelism thing. Because, I mean, we could be like the all-out crazy, and I'm not sure that's going to make waves. I mean, maybe it'll make waves, but you're not going to make converts.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's an interesting discussion on what does evangelism look like in 2016? Where are we meeting the people where they're at? And how do we make that happen? Door knocking, flyers, mailings.
Internet. Maybe.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think this class is a good medium for that, maybe at the end or something, where we literally bash that out.
Yeah.
Because I want to do it, but sometimes I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, in your handout, he gives some kind, if you look at the handout, it's in chapter, I think it's 16, the next chapter. Talks about giving out one of his books to people. He mentioned later, it's not to sell my book and make profit on my book. He says, I'm doing it so people can see that. But if you read that example, it's kind of cool. It gives you kind of a way to approach somebody with this book. Maybe they'll read it. So, I don't. Thank you. All right. We may get done a little early today. I didn't want to go past chapter 16. So, we might get done a little bit earlier today. I appreciate your comments. Sometimes, and anybody who's teaching up here will get up here and they'll say, man, I hope I have enough material to get through the day today. But with discussion, it really starts things going and it keeps things going. I appreciate that. So can you see Randall's teachings coming out of Larry when he met with Mike that night? Remember, he showed up at 9:15 in the evening and they discussed the Bible for how many hours? 8 hours almost. It was 5:42, he said, the next morning, and he had to go to work.
Had to
shower and go.
And go.
He had to be to work by 6:30, I think it was, that next morning, 7. So, but you can see that when they had that discussion, you could see where Randall had been working with Larry and some of the same stuff that was brought up with Randall and Mike, Larry was bringing up as well. But
one of the things I really liked in that chapter was where Larry brought up the example. Moses and the Israelites with the serpent.
Yes.
And, and just how that correlates. It's not the exact same, but the principle is the same of, are you saved by doing what you think you should do, or are you saved by doing what God says?
Right. And what did God say for them to do? Do you remember?
If you're bit by the serpent, look at the serpent that's been put on the pole.
Right, right. And I had heard, correct me if I'm wrong, that's why in the medical field they have that. You ever seen that little, is that true? It's probably, you ever seen the nurses? Is it the nurses or the doctors? Who's a nurse in here?
It's called
Lee is, right? Or not Lee, Lee's wife. Sorry, Lee, you're an oil field guy. Beth and Tavan. Do you guys wear that? No? Do you ever see it?
I think that's more military.
Is it military?
Military. Well,
maybe that's where I saw it.
At least it's there.
Yeah, maybe it's the military. That's where I remember seeing it. But it's the serpent on the stake, or the what am I trying to say? The staff.
Ask
yeah.
Ben.
Ben, yeah, Ben knows.
It's called a caduceus.
Okay.
That pin.
Okay. Yeah, it was... Let's look at that real quick. Can we look at that? Somebody want to read some of that? It's Numbers. Chapter 21. It was a very good example that he brought out. I'd never thought of that until I read that. Yeah, it's 4 through 9. I can read it if you guys want to follow. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Then they set out from, are you guys all there? Everybody there? I don't want to get ahead of everybody. Numbers chapter 21, 4 through 9. Then they set out from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? There is no food and there is no water, and we loathe this miserable food. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. Verse 7, so the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So picture in your mind this serpent on there, and if they get bit, they look at it, and they'll live. They won't die. Verse 9, and Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, and it became about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. What if they hadn't looked at the bronze serpent?
They died.
You sure? They believed in God.
But that was not the way God set it up.
God said, look at the bronze serpent. Somebody's laying there dying. Well, I know it's out there. I don't need to look at it. God's going to take care of me. But that's a work. It's a work. You got to work to get up there and look at that bronze serpent. That's what they would say. Kelly, were you going to say something?
No, it's the under the breath comment.
Oh, you don't have to do that in this class.
I never do that usually.
Any other comments on that? I think the point was that God asked them to do something, and they shall live. Today we're asked to do something, and we shall live. Am I right? Or am I crazy?
Kind of odd.
I'm kind of odd?
No. Well, yeah.
Dave said yes. Thanks, Dave.
I'm talking that.
My wife would agree with you.
Everybody that is in this camp had seen great things happen by God. Could there be anyone that did not believe in God in that camp?
I don't think there could have been anyone.
Belief is not enough.
Good point. Good point. Anybody else? Okay. What was, do you guys remember Mike's rebuttal on baptism to Larry when they were discussing it? What was his rebuttal? Somebody look at Luke 23. Let's look at Luke 23 real quick. Luke 23:39-43. I can read it. You just follow along. During the crucifixion, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And one of the criminals who were hanging there was hurling abuse at him. We've heard this a number of times. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself from us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly for what we are receiving, what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Verse 43, and he said to them, Jesus says this, he says, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. He said this to one of the thieves on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. Mike used this argument for baptism. I've used that argument years ago for baptism. My dad uses this argument for baptism. Was the thief baptized? We don't know. Could have been before, doesn't say.
Doesn't matter. Though.
Say that again?
It doesn't matter.
Justine says it doesn't matter. Why not?
For Christ died and the new covenant came.
Okay. Okay.
And plus, too, if Jesus says it, hey, I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's always kind of been my point. Jesus said it, hey, it's a done deal. Yes.
The Son of Man could forgive sins on earth. Anybody Jesus wanted to forgive, he could forgive right there.
Yes. Yes. Look at Hebrews 9, 16 through 17. I can read it.
Hebrews what?
Hebrews chapter 9, 16 and 17. Larry's response was this. He said, for where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead. For it is never in force while the one who made it lives. We've heard this a few times too. Again, it goes back, I think, was it you that just said he hadn't died yet? Christ hadn't died yet.
Well, isn't baptism the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? And therefore, at that moment, he hadn't been dead, burialed, and resurrected.
Right. Resurrected here a few days later. Rob.
I thought John the Baptist, when he came, was for repentance only. It wasn't for death and burial.
Right, right. Somebody else?
Plus, I mean, when was Mark 16, 15, 16 spoken?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is going to say something and say, oh yeah, all the people who came before that, sorry, you know, you're doomed.
Yeah.
You know, so when did he say it? When we look at anything in the Bible, who said, who's talking, who are they speaking to? I mean, you have to look at all of that, and Christ didn't speak until after.
Right. After he died.
After he was resurrected.
Yep. Romans chapter 6 goes back to what Kelly said. And I think, actually, I don't have it with me. You guys have it. I think it's one of the memory verses this week. Romans 6. 3 through 6, I believe. And that's what Kelly was just talking about. Reenacting, so to speak, the gospel, being baptized, reenacting the death, burial, and resurrection, and our baptism. All right, I got to keep moving. Any other comments, real quick? Anybody else have any other response to that? Nope? So you notice that Larry covered a lot more biblical ground in that 8 hours they were together than Randall did in this one sitting that they were together with. Do you think that could be detrimental? In your opinion? They asked that in the book.
Well,
I think they'll, go ahead, I'm sorry.
He has done a lot of studies up to that point. So, you know, if you were just starting with someone and went 8 hours with them, I think that would be probably detrimental. He's had a lot of background to get to that point.
Randall, or Mike, I mean, yes, you're talking about,
Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Somewhat. Rod?
In, I think, 1 Corinthians 3:6, it mentions that Paul planted the seed and Apollos watered, and God made it grow. And I think that's probably kind of what's happened here in a way.
Okay. The only thing I could see that could be detrimental is the fact that trying to cram too much stuff onto somebody at one time. You know, if you notice what Randall was doing, he was throwing little bits out. Some people are not that way. They don't want to sit there and get it rammed down their throat. that could be detrimental. That's the only
thing.
Well,
Mike and Leonard are very close friends, so
yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something they both were
engaged in. It was a whole different deal. Because later in the next chapter, they got together on New Year's Day, watched football together, and ate hot wings. They were good friends. So, yeah. Yeah.
Mike was very hungry for the word. He was searching.
Yes.
Really looking, so.
Yes, that's a very good point. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, remember the New Year's party that they went to and he didn't drink very much?
Yes, and that's in
the whole appeal didn't look good to him anymore.
Yeah, that's in chapter the very next chapter. We're gonna discuss that too. Yep. Yep. What was Mike's reason for being baptized in the Baptist church? Does anybody remember? What was his reason? Mike said, I was baptized in the Baptist church. What was his reasoning? It was an outward sign of what?
There was actually two. An outward sign and inward change.
Yeah.
Was one, but the other one that he says back then is he did it because everybody else did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at John 24 real quick. Or 24, I'm sorry. John chapter 8, verse 24. We got to wrap up here. John chapter 8, verse 24. I think I wrote that wrong. Did I write that wrong? Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I have come from, where am I going, but for you. Okay, I wrote the wrong one. Let me look at it up here real quick. Well, that's what it says. It's not the one. Oh, there. I'm sorry. I was reading the wrong verse. Sorry about that. I said, therefore, to you that you shall die in your sins. Jesus is speaking here. I said, therefore, to you that you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And verse John 12, real quick, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him because of the Pharisees. They were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Question for us out of this whole thing. Why are we here? Why are we here? Are we here because we were drug in by our shirt tail by our wives? Or did our wives come in because the husbands drug them in by their hair like the old, what are they called?
Cavemen.
That's what I was thinking of. Did we drag our wives in by their hair? Do we want approval of men instead of God? Something to think about. Our life outside of these four walls for us all to think about. This week, let's think about this. Do we want approval of men or of God? Are we worried about what somebody thinks out there? Are we afraid to share the gospel with somebody because so-and-so might say something? They might think differently of me? Or do we want God's approval? Do we care about somebody's soul? Remember in the beginning when we talked about these chairs were empty? These seats are empty. It's a soul. Every one of these would hold a soul in here. What's the value of that? What's the value of that soul? I got to wrap up. I got too many people coming in now and they're ready to sit down. So next week, we didn't make it through 16. We'll start with 16, but it's only one discussion question in that chapter. We're going to try to get through 16, 17, and 18 and hopefully get somewhat caught back up. Thank you.